Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
We'll be turning to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, and reading verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Well, this morning we're going to be talking about what God expects of me as a family member. Now, when we speak of family, we're going to go a little bit larger than just your family, but we're talking about the family of God. We are referred to in the scriptures as part of God's family. How we treat one another, how we respond to one another, is very, very important. We're a community, and as such, we should love and care for one another. There's a certain bond that ought to exist between believers. Just the fact that we're believers. You know, when I was in the military, I was in the Navy, and we would often hit different ports. And what do you do when you enter a port? Well, a lot of the sailors would go and hit the local bar or whatever scene there was. I would hit the local church. And it was amazing how well received I was when I found Christians in other lands. Mentioned to them I was a Christian, and their kindness is extended to me because of that. And that's how it should be. We are all related in Christ. We are part of the family of God. And that bond exists. And there's a general sense, but then there's the narrow sense of our particular fellowship. There ought to be a strong bond of relationship with believers in a fellowship. Now, I realize the larger a church is, the more complex it is to know everybody, but there ought to be an attitude of relationship, because we are related in Christ. So God expects us to live like a family of believers, and we want to look like that. God, as our Heavenly Father, has expectations for us. If we live up to those expectations, we have the mind of Christ, but if we don't, we suffer loss. And so I want to encourage us to live up to those expectations today. The main point of today's message is what God expects of me, how God wants me to respond in relationship one with the other. However, after we talk about that, we'll spend just a minute or two talking about how God responds to my behaviors. First, what God expects of me. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Then it goes on to say, or actually part of what he said in 1 Peter 3:8, all of you. Now, how many are excluded in all of you? None. We're all expected to have this attitude in us, the mind of Christ, living out our Christian life. And you've heard what he said about husbands last week and wives, but you haven't been left out. Everybody in the body of Christ is to have a relationship of caring and love and respect for one another based upon our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond that, how we treat people in general ought to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And there's no exceptions. God expects all believers to live showing grace to one another, and then extended grace to others, even those that are outside of the family of God. There should be a recognition that the people of God are a graceful people, a loving people, a caring people. He goes on to say, though, in the body of Christ, to all of us, have unity of mind. Now, this is to be a sense of harmony and agreement of Christians. It doesn't mean we all think and see things the same exact way, but it means that there's a sense of harmony of one in one another. And unity is strength in the body of Christ. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" said Linus. "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "What channel do you want?" said Linus. Turning away, he looked at his fingers and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" There's strength in us being knitted together in Christ, living the way God wants us to live. Imagine what we could do if we were all on the same page. And that's what God wants us to be, in loving one another, caring for one another, serving one another. And being on the same page doesn't mean that you have the same mind on everything. We're all individuals. We all have individual thinking. But it means overriding everything is our attitude of care and respect and love for one another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So it is, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affliction and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. If there's one thing that should drive the church, it's the love of Christ and then extending the love of Christ to one another. And that's what God wants for the body of Christ. He goes on to say then in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. See, in the body of Christ, it's not about me. It's about the Lord and how we can serve him. And in serving him, we bless other people. And it's not about me wanting to be in the center, but rather me wanting to be used by the Lord to touch the lives of other people. Now, how do we do that? Paul goes on to say this in Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I need the mind of God. I need the mind of Christ. He says, though he was in the form of God, notice this, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. I've often imagined myself, how did Jesus walk among man, the perfect Son of God, walk around among imperfect man? Well, here it is. He was in the form of God, and he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. A servant's heart creates or is the basis of unity. We want to serve one another. We want to bless one another. We want to honor Christ in that process. D.L. Moody said this, the Holy Spirit is composer and conductor. He gives each member of the worshiping congregation sounds which he weaves together in heavenly harmony. He goes on to say another time, there are two ways of being united. One is to be frozen together, and the other is to be melted together. And that's what the body of Christ ought to be. The warmth of the love of Christ ought to embrace us and embrace others. And what Christians need is to be united in brotherly love, and then they may expect to have power. And that's true. Do you know, when the body of Christ is living that way. People who don't know the Lord want to become part of that family. They want to know what it is that makes you guys tick, that brings you in such a relationship as this. Now I want you to see a little triangle on the screen for a minute, and you got a picture of a believer number one, believer number two, and God at the top. But before I go into explaining that, I want to say one thing to sort of emphasize how we need to know the Lord. The things I'm going to tell you about, and I'm talking about in our behavior, are supernatural. It's not natural for man, when someone insults you, to give it a blessing instead. It's not natural to be kind when somebody's been unkind to you. It's supernatural. It's led by the Spirit of God. And you might be hearing this, and you may have come here today and checked us out and said, whoa. But see, what you need to know is you need the Spirit of God. And what you need to know is you need Christ as your Savior. It's when Christ is your Savior that you can live this way. The reason we're such a mess is, Romans says, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. It says there's none righteous, not even one. And then it goes on to say the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you don't understand this, it may be that you need to know who Christ is before you can even begin to live this way. This is a high demand, but it's demand made on believers, and you need to understand that. So what do you need to do? You need to discover who Christ is. Christ lived and died, was buried, rose again on your behalf that he might forgive sins. And if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, he will save us. And it might be that you need to know right at the beginning, if I want to develop these kinds of relationships right at the core, I need to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then let me tell you what happens when you ask Christ to come in and become your Lord and Savior. Here's a picture of believer one and believer two. Personalities, sometimes, and it could be a husband and wife, could be two people in the church, and personalities may rub a little. How do you deal with that? Well, here's how you deal with it. You don't go here and say, well, I'll give a little, you give a little. No, no, no. Number one says, I will serve the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul. Number two says, I will serve the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. And as you draw nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer to God, you know what happens? We become one in Christ. No longer do we seek our own interest, but now we seek the interest of others. Now, if someone should hurt us, we take the command of Christ seriously. Bless those who hurt you. And what will happen is we will see relationships build because we will understand the love of Christ, a unique love, an incredible love, a love that sent him to the cross, even though we were sinners, and a love that has us treating people in the same way. And how powerful that will be. You know, have it your way may work for hamburgers, but it doesn't work in the body of Christ. Have it God's way. Unity is a byproduct of obedience to Christ. And so we all want to get our hearts where they should be, and we want to serve the Lord with all our hearts and do what he tells us to do, and we will have that sense of wonderful unity. It is obtainable only to the extent that we all submit to the will of God. We must all make God's will, God's purpose, our purpose. Now, does that mean we live in perfection? No. One of the great examples of this is found in the Bible with the story of John, Mark, and Paul. Paul, as you know, was a wonderful missionary, wrote much of the New Testament, man of God. But one time he was on a mission journey with John, Mark, and John, Mark deserted the journey. I don't know if he became discouraged, lonely, who knows what happened, but he left. Another time he was ready to go on another mission trip, and it says in Acts 15:37, Barnabas wanted to take with him John, called Mark. And then it says in the next verse, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Paul said, I don't want to take him. I don't think he's ready. And it says then, in verse 39, a sharp disagreement arose. Well, did they yell at each other? Did they scream at each other? I don't think so. They just had a disagreement. So they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark, and he sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed. Now, that's not the end of the story, because in the body of Christ, differences are worked out to the glory of God. Difficulties are worked out to the glory of God. And what happens is later, Paul's observing Mark, and he realizes Mark is really a disciple of Christ. He loves Christ. He's serving Christ. And he realizes it. And at the end, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:11, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in ministry, for ministry. And Paul understands at that moment where he struggled with Mark, and God does a work in his heart, and God causes him to call Mark and say, Mark, I want you to come alongside of me and help me. That's how the body of Christ operates in a way that glorifies God. The love of God enables us to love one another. It enables us to work with one another despite any difficulty that may come up. It enables us to forgive and to bless and to be kind to one another. John 13:34, the Lord said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have also loved you. You are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples. This is what makes us totally unique. This is how people will know that we are disciples of Christ. If you have love for one another. The New Testament has 12 verses that repeats this command. Love one another. I had an aunt who loved the Lord and was influential in my life. And she used to tell me of her father. And he would walk through the house as he was raising his kids. And he would continually say this, we must love one another. We must love one another. He'd say that almost every day to his kids. And it got instilled in their heart. This is what God says to us. We must love one another. Later, Peter will exhort the same in 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love, notice what it does, it covers a multitude of sins. We can get together, work together, love one another despite our humanity because we love Christ and we love each other. This is what we're called to do. This kind of love is the love that shows action. It's clearly seen among other people. 1 John 3:8, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to say, I love you. But God wants us to show love for one another. And Peter will not leave us any doubt as to what this kind of love looks like when he says in 1 Peter 3:9, here's how it works. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. I tell you, it's a great way of joy. When someone says something that hurts you for a moment, here's what you say to yourself. This is God's command for me to bless that person today. To pray for them, find a way to bless them. And that's what it says here. It says, bless those who have done something evil or hurt you or reviled. Bless them. You were called to do that. And if you do that, instead of walking around all day or all month, all year, miserable and upset, you will obtain a blessing. This is what God says. The key here is to learn how to forgive. And in a couple weeks, I don't know sure how many weeks ahead, but in a few weeks, I'll be preaching a series on forgiveness. It'll help you because some people say, I can't get over this. Yes, you can. You can learn how to forgive God's way. And there's a lot that God says about that. And we'll be talking about that in the near future. Peter tells us to not respond in the flesh, but to instead to return a blessing that benefits the one who may have hurt us. That is a supernatural act for us to do that. That is the Spirit of God controlling us instead of our own nature. That is us bowing the knee to Christ and obeying what he tells us to do. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil for evil or revile for revile. Why? Well, he goes on to say, on the contrary, bless. Why? For this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. And so, if you want a blessing, this is how to do it. I was talking to a Christian man once, many years ago. I was training on a job as a washing machine repairman, and I was riding in the van with him, and he was telling me how somebody in the church had hurt him. Ah, he said, burn me once, shame on me. Burn me twice, shame. Burn me once, shame on him. Burn me twice, shame on me. I've got a plan to get back. And I'm riding with him as a Christian man, and I'm thinking to myself, and I brought it up to him, how does that fit the will of God? How does that fit for us to be conniving and planning? Somebody hurt you, so now what are you going to do? I'm going to find a way to hurt back. Shouldn't be that way. The late Theodore Steinway, you may be familiar with his name, the founder of Steinway and Sons, piano makers, once noted, in one of our concert grand pianos, 243 taut strings exert a pull of 40,000 pounds on an iron frame. It is proof that out of great tension may come great harmony. And that's how the body of Christ is. A whole bunch of different people, a whole bunch of different skills and personalities and different ways of thinking. And yet, here's what we think: Jesus Christ is Lord. And because we center on Jesus Christ as Lord, we are able to come together and make beautiful music. Isn't that what we hear every week when Marilyn plays the piano? All that tension, but what happens? That tension brought together rightly produces beautiful music. In the difficulty of life, God brings great blessing to those who obey him. 1 Peter 3:10. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I was reading the story of a famous preacher who stood up in front of his congregation, and he said, there is an organ in the human body that is causing much destruction. And he went on and talked a little bit. And then he said, do you want to see that organ? And the hush hit the congregation. And then he went like this. Isn't it true how much the tongue can do? And we need to be careful. 1 Peter 3:11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. It is ours for the taking. The Lord has given it to us. Hannah Whitehill Smith, in The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, says this: have you never tasted the luxury of indulging in hard thoughts against those who have, as you think, injured you? Have you never known what a positive fascination it is to brood over their kindnesses and to pry into their malice and to imagine all sorts of wrong and uncomfortable things about them? It has made you wretched, of course, but it has been a fascinating sort of wretchedness that you could not easily give up. This is exactly what you give up when you give your heart to the Lord. And you begin to live according to the way the Lord wants you to live. And you're not carrying a grudge, and you're not miserable, and you're not upset all the time, but rather you're filled with the Spirit and enjoying the Spirit's leading. And you can look up at life, even though you have gone through some difficult times, with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And this is what God has for us. 1 Peter 3:10, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And then Romans puts it this way, Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we can do it. Why? Because we're powerful? No. But we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the Word of God directing us. And with that, we can do all things through Christ. All things we are commanded to do, we can do. George Washington Carver said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in your life, you will have been all of these." God wants us to be the kind of family that others might say this: "I wish I had a family like that." Well, there is a family like that. Rightly lived, it's the body of Christ. It's a place where you will learn the deep love of God, and you will learn how believers love one another. And we ought to be known by that, and how powerful that is when that is expressed that way. Well, we looked at what God expects of me, but let's take just a couple of moments examining how God responds to my behaviors. 1 Peter 3:12, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." Dear God, are you hearing me? What does it say? "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." Many times I hear Christians say, "I prayed, that didn't work." Oh. God says he hears the prayers of those who are living righteous lives, to those who are living according to his commands, to those who are not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but instead giving a blessing. And our prayers are answered. God says he responds to the prayers of the righteous. And if you are a blessing, you will inherit blessings. This is what God promises, and this is what God does. 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous again, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." That's pretty scary. You say, "I want God's blessing in my life. I want to feel the fullness of joy." Then God says, this is how you live. "Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but instead give a blessing. You be a blessing so I can bless. You do what I tell you to do, and I will show you my glory, and you will be filled with the joy of the Lord." Well, let's close with this. Much of what Peter has said comes from Psalm 34. I encourage you that you can go home and read it fully, but I'm just going to give you three verses. Listen to what it says. Psalm 34:16. "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The Lord is near," though, listen to this, in verse 18, "the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." When you get hurt, when you get injured, don't do something except this: cry out to the living God. Take your cares to him, for he cares for you. And respond according to his word, and you will find that he will respond to you in blessing. We're going to talk about suffering next week. And sometimes we suffer for righteousness' sake. What should our response be? I suggest it's pretty similar to how we ought to be responding to one another. And I pray, and I know this in our church, I can see how often the love of Christ sweeps across the body of Christ here. And I am so encouraged by that. Let us continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, and continue to obey him, and we will continue to see his good hand upon us. Let's pray together. Lord, our trust is in you, our hope is in you, and though we live in a fallen world, we follow the example of Christ. The very Son of God walked among sinful men with the intent of being a blessing. And Lord, I pray that we will learn those principles, inscribe them in our heart. Let us live them in our life. And then, Lord, let us enjoy the great pleasures and blessings of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, You can find her information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.